kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe, and we're fucking back, Cole. We're back.
It's been
a couple weeks.
And, took me a minute there to like turn on the faux enthusiasm.
Yeah. Back to this shit. No, we're not alone. Jacob's here.
Woo.
Chris is here.
Hello.
And Aki's here.
You have no idea how much I always want to interrupt your intro.
Tim does it all the time. What's stopping you?
I'm trying to be nice because I want games, but it's so hard.
How is everyone? How is everybody's time off? Did anybody do anything fun?
I worked.
I completed two really long games, and it was fantastic. I finally started and finished AC Origins, and started and finished Far Cry 5.
Nice.
I feel accomplished. Now I only have two more games, and then I'm caught up to the more recent stuff.
Chris, what about you? Anything you did fun over the break?
Yeah. I got a new base, so... Ooh. I'm really happy about that. Yeah. It's Fonzie. It looks like candy.
And, I like candy.
It does the badoompa doomps really well.
Badoompa doomps.
And I got a game in the mail today that I bought from eBay. And does anyone want to guess what it is? Hint? You absolutely won't believe that I didn't have it already.
Bomberman X-Zero. The Golden Compass for Wii.
The Golden Compass.
The Golden Compass for Wii. I think I do have that one.
I actually just bought it on Xbox 360 again, just because we've been watching his Dark Materials, and I'm like, I need to know how shitty this game was. And my wife was like, I used to have it for PS3. It's crappy. Why are you spending $5 on this? I'm like, I must know.
So you actually spent $5 on it?
I spent $5. Shipping was free. I think the guy was like, I just need to break even on this. It arrived and I popped it in my Xbox One's just like, yeah, this is not backwards compatible.
You could have asked me that. I could have told you.
It's all right. I have to dig up my Xbox 360 anyway. So,
I mean, it's not like there aren't lists online of all the games that are backward compatible.
That takes effort.
Not like there isn't a fucking Wikipedia page that has them all listed.
Yeah, shit.
As I said, I have to dig up my 360 anyway, so I'm just like, whatever.
The Carnage is guessing Mario RPG and Final Fantasy 1.
No, on both. I have those. All right, those would be good answers if I didn't have them. Okay, second hint. Typically, you can find this game for under $15.
How about the third hint is you just tell us what it is and go ahead and
Well, you know, if you don't like to play the guessing game, that's fine.
I'm guessing some version of Skyrim.
No. Every version of Skyrim.
Sort of fucking Guitar Hero or something.
All right, can you at least tell us what genre it is?
Panzer Dragoon. I don't know. Something like shoots.
Genre puzzle.
Tetris Attack.
No, I definitely have Tetris
99.
That's a
free download.
What's one of those like booby puzzle games that like Aki always reviews?
Catherine. It's that
one. Yes, dude, tell me, list them all.
Is it Catherine?
We don't have the Catherine. Time for me to list them all, but
that would be an entire episode.
Yeah,
Puyo. I already have Puyo in some form or another.
This last weekend, I found a porn game in my Steam library that I didn't even remember getting. I was like, where the fuck did this come from? And I found out, it was free. That's why.
Nice.
And you were like, Happy New Year to me.
I actually still haven't played it. But it looks decent.
So, Chris, what did you get off eBay?
I got Tetris on the Game Boy.
See, I was right. It was a Tetris game.
Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't an obscurity. It's just like, I can't believe he didn't already have that.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised you didn't have that.
Yeah, I looked through my collection and I was like, you know, I have Tetris DX. I don't have the original Tetris anymore. I had it when I was a kid, but that went away with my original Game Boy. Like, I think my mom sold it in a garage sale or something. Hmm. Yeah, it's just plain old Tetris, the launch title on the US Game Boy. It was a launch title. Yeah.
Yeah, but do you have Tetris DS?
I do have Tetris DS. That's for the longest time was my favorite version of Tetris.
That was my favorite up until Tetris Effect.
I haven't played Tetris Effect. Is that the one I played at your house?
Yes.
Yeah, that thing's amazing.
But I do love Tetris of all kinds. But yeah, for some reason, I just have not had Tetris on the Game Boy since I was a kid. And I just fixed that today.
Damn. That's cool. Cole, what did you do over the break?
I existed. I had so many plans to like go through my backlog and clean up a whole bunch of shit. And I was going to do some artwork I had sketches for laying around that I've been waiting to finish. And I was going to learn. I don't sleep. That's ridiculous. I was going to like, sleep. Yeah, like 3 hours a night. Bang. I'm good. That's all I get. You know, I had all these grand plans, and I'll literally confess that I sat here in front of my computer and just, like, zoned out for the last month.
Nice.
And I think I just needed to not.
Talking about sleeping, I'm finally starting to sleep properly again.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. It is a New Year miracle.
And in the past couple of weeks, I've gotten between 5 and, like, 10 hours of sleep. Almost every night, and I'm like, oh, and that sounds bad to most of you people, but that's what I used to sleep, was anywhere between 3 and 14 hours at any given time, and I'd wake up and I'd be perfectly fine. So
hey, I'm good with 14 hours. Bring it on. I'm tired. Let's do this shit.
I usually roll about 3 to 5 hours, if I'm lucky. I might sometimes, like, I have chronic fatigue, but I also have insomnia. So, like, my body's just so fucking tired, I can't function, but my brain's just like, hey, let's talk about algebra at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And it's the worst fucking combination in the world. So, like, eventually the chronic fatigue wins, and, like, I'll lay down on the couch and take, like, a 45-minute nap or whatever, and it's beautiful.
You know what else is beautiful? Root beer is my jam with the 20-month sub. Purnell, what do you think of that?
Fucking yeah!
That's right, Purnell. He's not even here and he's chiming in.
Fucking yeah!
Fucking yeah! All I have to do is hope that the sound effect actually works.
Yeah, because I ain't unmuting to hear my own voice.
Exactly.
To tell you one way or another.
If the sound effect doesn't work, then we all just look stupid. Carnage says it worked, so.
Okay.
This whole, sidetrack is for nothing. Yeah, we all look stupid.
You know, the sidetrack was to make us look even dumber. It's fun.
Speaking of looking dumber, I picked up a PS5.
Ooh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Ashley and I, we found a guy on Facebook. He had it listed for $1,000 and it was up for a few weeks. So I figured, let me offer him like $600 and see what happens. And we settled on $700 and I figured that's the cost of a system and two games. I already had two games, so just pretend it's a bundle.
And yeah,
I got a PS5.
I am ashamed of you, just so you know.
I know, so am I.
Supporting scalpers. At this point, if you want one, that's the only thing you can do.
I know. I'm fucking tired of waiting. That's the thing. It's not like I need to have it. I'm annoyed. I'm tired of waiting. I just want the goddamn thing. I want to stop looking for it. I want to stop waiting for it. So we paid the premium and now I don't have to fucking worry about it anymore.
See, that's what we're staring down the barrel of when it comes to upgrading my computer. Because for our anniversary, David wanted to upgrade my CPU and my GPU with the new components that just came out. And I'm like, that's great. Except now there's like tariffs and scalpers and I won't be able to find shit. And my only option for getting shit is going to be like pay $1,200 for a $400 graphics card.
Yeah, that's why I haven't gotten my new computer yet, because I'm just waiting for everything to be fucking
calmed down. Extra borked now because there was a an exception for tariffs that expired, and they didn't re-up it. So now it's going to be even more expensive. Get fucked, Aki. They're expecting like July or August before prices even out.
Damn. You can blow Rob and get me a discount, can't you?
Who?
Rob.
Who?
The guy who builds who built your computer. I just call him Rob.
His name is not Rob.
What's his screen name again? God. I've forgotten how to pronounce it, so I just call him Rob.
Wow.
My head hurts. My head hurts. Good. Why are we doing this shit? Why are we back to this shit? Jacob, did you have anything else you wanted to say besides you worked, by the way?
I mean, the only other gaming thing I did of note is that like I blew through all the what's the publisher called? Exilition?
Extillion?
Zetalon? Yeah. I don't...
Something?
Yeah, something like that.
So, like, I got all of those achievements except for the ones in Cold Silence, which was, like, I think I got, like, halfway through before they went back to their original achievement list. So, that was fun.
Yeah, that, that 10,000 gamer score thing. People are like, oh man, it's going to take you like 100 hours to get 10,000 gamer score. I'm like, my friend, you don't know who Radlake Games and Zetalon are.
East Asia Soft.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I ended up getting like a fifth of the gamer score that originally took me like, what, 13 years to get? Because like I just cleared like 100,000. And yeah, I just added like another 20 over the Christmas break because of those games.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, yeah,
crazy shit,
indeed. Oh my god, there's news. It's been a few weeks. There's some news to talk about.
Well, there's tons there of news.
Really? There I was going to say news pertaining to video games.
Oodles of news. We'll just try to focus on some of the highlights. By the way, I love that Doc Havoc in chat called you out on your expired.
I pushed it. I tried to make it not sound rednecky because otherwise I'd just say expired.
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 Wow.
They're a former bard.
I tried, but I knew even with trying to like correct it, it was still sounding off. And I was like, well, I can't fix it any more than that. Can't
fix it
anymore. Where it's at. Sometimes you just have to accept the stitches and then the scars for what they are.
My God.
It's so weird that there's such a drastic difference between how we talk when we're us. We're right fucking next to each other. Jesus.
What?
Me and Cole live somewhat close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I live like 15 minutes away from fucking downtown Louisville, Kentucky.
Hmm.
Yeah.
At most.
You're more wet Midwestern, whereas where I'm at is hill folk. And yeah, so
I think she lives like an hour and a half away from me. In hill
folk. No, no, it's about 4 hours.
Really?
Trolls and hill folk and fairies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I live in Texas, where we actually have regional dialects within the state.
Because it's like, such a big area.
Yeah.
Like, Kentucky's the same way. Like, people think, oh, it's not a very big state, or it's not very populous. And it's like, it's not very tall state-wise, but we're wide as fuck.
Kentucky goes wide as fuck.
It's true. And like, you know, on one side it's mountains and rednecks, and on the other side it's relatively reasonable people who live in the Midwest. And so it's a big difference, and it affects even everything down to our accents and dialects.
You know what else is reasonable?
What's that?
The games with gold and PlayStation Plus lineups. For January.
I'm glad to see Joe, you worked on your segues while we were
desperately trying I've been to working steer on this them. Conversation towards podcast.
I'm trying, man. It's been weeks. We gotta get this shit back on track. We have games to talk about.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep everyone here all night. I don't want to come back to a 3-hour episode, but I have a feeling we're getting there. We're getting there. But news. PlayStation Plus and Games with Gold, obviously. New year, new month, new games. PlayStation Plus bringing it once again. On the PS4, they're getting Greedfall and Shadow of the Tomb Raider. And then PS5 only is getting Maneater.
Solid month.
Damn.
Yeah, that's some good games right there.
Can't be mad.
No.
Maneater's great.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
It doesn't include the PS4 version of Maneater, though, so it's only the PS5.
Yeah, get fucked. Which nobody has, so they're only going to give away like 3 copies.
Hey, I got my copy. I'll redeem it and never play it on PlayStation because I already own it and don't play it on Xbox.
You got Maneater. Oh, here he comes.
Oh, man. Games with Gold for January. Not bad. Decent month. Xbox One has Little Nightmares and Dead Rising. And Xbox 360 has King of Fighters 13, and then original Xbox has Breakdown.
Which, in my opinion, that's solid, too.
Little Nightmares is fucking fantastic.
I'm excited about King of Fighters.
Yeah, that's the honestly, that's the thing that, like, everyone should be like, holy shit about.
I enjoy King of Fighters.
I think it's still like a $30 game, too, on the website.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't recall it ever being on sale, so getting it for free was a fucking bonus.
Yeah. And then Twitch Games had their game lineup as well. Theirs was pretty good, too. Bridge Constructor Playground, Alt Frequencies, Along the Edge, When Ski Lifts Go Wrong, and Void Bastards.
Not bad. That reminded me that I forgot to check Epic Games and see what the current freebie on there is, too.
The current freebie, I think, is Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Ah.
Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront 2 Celebration Edition on Epic Game Store is the freebie of the week.
I missed, like, all of them that they were having over Christmas. They had one every fucking day, and I missed, like, all but, like, one or two of them.
Oh, next week is Galactic Civilizations. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Rupert saying PS5 is the most successful Sony launch. Can't say no one has it. Me and Tim have it. Those are the only people I know who have a PS5. Out of all my friends, me and Tim.
That's because most people are sensible and don't want to spend like $1,000 on this stupid bullshit.
You just can't find them. And then same with Xbox. No one has a fucking Xbox. I have one.
I have one in layaway.
Yeah, you gotta get that shit.
I know.
I'll wait for a year or two.
Dead Drop is waiting on you. They're depending on you, Cole.
They're depending on me to review their game.
I think people have PS5. They're just waiting to sell them on Craigslist and eBay and stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody's actually playing PS5.
Sony has sold 7 million PS5s and 6.5 million PS5s are on the black market right now for $1,000.
Great.
This is why I'll just wait for a couple years, and then they'll eventually stop scalping because, hey, no one else buying the shit. And then I can get one at a proper price.
Yeah. Just like me. I just bought a Wii.
Jesus. Okay.
Just buy Tetris for the fucking Game Boy, so anything is possible.
I did just pay money for a game that originally came free with the system.
Yeah, you're buying a pack-in. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Wouldn't be the first time.
Game Pass, a lot of games. Just joined Game Pass this month. We got eFootball PES 2021 season update for cloud and console. Injustice for everything. The Little Acre for cloud and console. Neoverse on PC. Torchlight 3 on cloud and console. What Remains of Edith Finch on PC. And Yik, a postmodern RPG, sadly only on PC. I was really hoping that was coming to console. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's actually called Yik?
I don't know. It's Y-I-I-K. I say Yik.
I think it's supposed to be Y2K, because it takes place during Y2K.
It's Yeah, but I hear a lot of people call it Yik.
No, Yik is great. I didn't even think about calling it that.
Yeah, that is on PC. So.
Oh, okay. I have it on Switch.
Didn't you review it on Switch?
No, no? I purchased it with monies. Which is why I don't talk about it. I'm so quiet about games I actually purchase because I'm so obligated to talk about games that for the podcast that when I actually purchase them, I'm like, what I'm really purchasing is not having to talk about it with
anyone. See, I'm the exact opposite way. I always want to talk about games I play, whether I got them for free or not.
Yeah, and Jacob's like, hey, can we review this game that we never covered and is 4 years old?
I've done that to you a couple of times myself, so I can't really shit on him for that.
All right. That was once, I believe.
I've done it more than once. I don't know why he wasn't making an example out of me, but...
Yeah, but the best part is that the developers thought it was funny as crap and gave Joe a code for me to review.
That's funny.
Nice.
No, but you've had many times you've been like, oh, I'll review this game on the show if you want me to. I'm like, dude, it's 6 months old. No one... It's old.
Well, because it's just like I'll spot it in a sale or like somebody will mention it on Twitter. And I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. And I don't bother looking up the date when it was released. It's just like, you know, oh, somebody, like a couple of people are talking about it. It must be new. Like, whatever.
Yeah, for me, I always do it because most of the games I want are indie games. I'm like, I'm sure no one's fucking heard of this fucking game. So,
yep.
Carnage wants to know what game it was. Wasn't it Hyper Void?
Yes.
It's like, we covered this twice on the show already. We covered it on PlayStation. We covered it on Xbox. We had an interview with them, and you're asking to cover it now.
Yeah.
Years later.
What happened is I go to this website called the Wing Commander Combat Information Center. And like, so they cover obviously everything Wing Commander related, but they talk about other space sims occasionally. And I guess there was like an update to the game or something. And so I was just like, oh, this must be a new game, like blah, blah, blah. And so I asked Joe and yeah.
And then I
got a review copy of a 4 year old game.
Oh, so yeah, a couple games are leaving Game Pass on the 15th.
Oh, no.
Yeah, games leaving this week are FTL Faster Than Light on PC, My Friend Pedro on console and PC, Tekken 7 on console, and Sword Art Online Fatal Bullet on console. Bummer, some good games leaving.
Yeah, I think I need to get my stack on My Friend Pedro if there is one.
Well, you better hurry, they're gone tomorrow.
Yeah, that's fine.
Chop chop.
I got time. I'll do it while we're recording the show.
Some big news. Bethesda announced Indiana Jones and the Dark Monolith by Machine Games.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Jacob. I figured you're excited as shit about this one.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I'm so damn
Root
excited.
Root beer is my jam, dropping 2,021 biddies. Jesus Christ. Norg, take it away.
Dropping bits! Ah! All over your fucking face! Ah! Wet pancakes!
And again, hopefully the sound effect played, or that's going to look really stupid on the show. At least with a 13-second gap, I'd be able to find that one and fix it.
Terrible.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for those biddies. That is insane. Thank you so much. I appreciate your support. Happy New Year. Now it's time for reviews. Biddies. No, there's still more news.
Rubier's been saving his biddies up from ads since 2020.
Yeah.
To make that happen.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Rubier. Yeah. Jacob, Indiana Jones, what do you think?
All right. I mean, first off, the trailer, we barely saw anything. You know, it's like a map, the whip, the hat, you know, and it promises that, you know, we've got a game coming along. So I'm fucking psyched. Because honestly, you know, it's a new Indiana Jones game. We haven't had one since, like what? Like 2007-ish, I think?
Original like Xbox and PS2, yeah. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
There was that Wii game.
Was there one?
Yeah, there's an Indiana Jones game on the Wii. I have it.
Which one is it? Is it Infernal Machine?
I thought that was the last one that got released.
Indiana Jones Wii.
Although, for some reason,
Staff Emperor's of Kings. Tomb is...
I don't remember that one. Huh.
Yeah, it came out in 2009. Sorry.
Yeah, not counting Lego game.
That came out on Wii, PS2, DS, and PSP.
Right on.
Damned.
I mean, that explains why I missed it. Looks like it was pretty mediocre, but
there's anyway. No word on platforms for the new one. It's just speculation. Yeah, is there a word? Because all I've heard is speculation.
Well, it's made by Bethesda, which is owned by Microsoft, so you know what that means. Xbox is getting it, at least.
Well, yeah. Xbox, at least, but we don't know if it's going to show up on other platforms.
Yeah,
guaranteed right, it'll be on PC. Guaranteed it'll be on Xbox. I would wager it'll be on PlayStation as well.
I can't imagine it not be.
Yeah, I think it's too big of a property to just keep on Xbox, well, but Spider-Man's only on PlayStation, so you never know.
Yeah. However, the other big thing that comes out of this is that Lucasfilm Games is back. So, years ago, LucasArts used to be the main publishing arm and also development arm for like all those kind of property games like Indiana Jones, Star Wars, that kind of stuff, along with all the other crap that LucasArts used to release. So when Disney bought them out, they pretty much dissolved LucasArts except as like a licensing arm. Mm-hmm. That's it. However, they've now brought back Lucasfilm Games, which was of course the original name for it. So they brought that back. Indiana Jones, and Joe, I assume you're going to talk about the Star Wars game too?
Yeah, that was coming up next. An open world Star Wars game is in development at Ubisoft from Massive Entertainment, the Division team. Cole, I'm sure you're excited about the Division team being involved in that.
I think I just came a little. Thank you.
We all did. We all did. Because I mean, it's exciting, although part of me is a little cautious because I'm afraid that it's going to be like Assassin's Creed reskinned with Boba Fett or...
No Time says Assassin's Creed Endor.
Yeah.
And Doc Havoc says, as long as I could play a parkouring Ewok assassin, I'm totally down.
You know, even if it's like Assassin's Creed, I don't care. I'd play it. It's Star Wars. I fucking love Star Wars.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm totally... it's totally going to be a day one purchase for me.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I'm just curious as to, like, what they're actually going to do with it. And, of course, the other big news with that is that that means that EA's exclusivity...
Yep, it will not be renewed past 2023.
Good.
Although EA has already said, and Lucasfilm Games has confirmed this, they are still working with EA.
It's just not exclusive anymore.
Right.
They're gonna slut it up a little bit.
Yeah, because there is, I believe, there's a confirmed sequel for Fallen Order, and
I've heard Battlefront 3 is in the works.
Yeah,
I think there's one other game that has. Like, they've announced that, oh, yeah, we're working on another Star Wars title, but they haven't said what it is.
No.
As long as I get Fallen Order 2, I'm good.
That's exciting. And, of course, you know, this opens up an entire possibility, like, galaxy of possibilities for all the other LucasArts stuff. I mean, they're sitting on unfinished Full Throttle games. Sam and Max just had a VR game not too long ago. And it'll be, everyone associates them with LucasArts from way back in the day. Now, granted, I mean, like, those are the only titles so far, like the Star Wars and Indiana Jones stuff that Lucasfilm Games has announced, but I mean, this is some pretty exciting shit, so I'm really stoked.
Yeah, I'm excited about it as well. Cole, what were your thoughts? Really? I thought you'd be excited that Massive Entertainment was working on it.
I mean, kudos to them. It's just not my cup of tea.
You're not my cup of tea.
I know I'm not anybody's cup of tea. Have you met me?
Maybe this will get you into Star Wars.
This is my cup of tea.
She just made me watch, like, a whole bunch of the movies. And all I did was like gloss over what was happening and make tampon jokes the whole time.
Nice.
So I think that that ship has sailed at trying to get me into Star Wars. I don't like sci-fi. I said it this year. I'm being more honest about it. I've been exposed a few times, so I might as well just say it out loud. I don't like sci-fi.
Gonna have to change that.
Sci-fi doesn't like you.
Sci-fi don't like nobody.
Oh my lord.
I'm really confused on how you don't like sci-fi, but you like shit like Sharknado. What the fuck is wrong with you? I mean that in the nicest way possible. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I have no idea anything about Sharknado. What are you talking about?
I thought you'd said you'd like Sharknado before. I could have swore you'd said that a couple times in past podcasts.
No.
Oh. I swear. My brain is just connecting people to things constantly that not connected to anymore.
Anyway, Sony has shifted production to the PS5 as it has discontinued most PS4 models in Japan, including the PS4 Pro. The only PS4 remaining in Japan will be the 500 gig slim model. So it looks like Sony is dropping the PS4 as quick as they can and working on getting the PS5 out as much as possible.
Well, that's a shame.
Makes sense.
Can I understand? Yeah, I understand why they're doing it, but that's still a shame.
Got to get as many PS5s into people's garages as possible.
Yeah. By the way, the PS5 is so fucking big. Like,
how big is it?
Like, I know it's a meme that the PS5 is a really big console, but we put it on the TV stand and it obscured the corner of the TV. Laying flat, it was up over the TV. It is obnoxiously large. It is a big fucking console.
And how do you feel about that?
It intimidates me.
Joe is aroused.
Yeah.
Scared and aroused.
Yeah. Speaking of scared, Eurogamer, here's how bad news got over the break. Eurogamer ran an article debunking the supposedly widespread rumor that I've never heard of that Microsoft uses AA batteries in their controllers in a deal with Duracell. And that's why they use AA batteries in their controllers instead of having built-in battery packs.
That's so ridiculous.
Even if they did, who gives a fuck?
That's the how fucking bad news was over the break. That's what was news.
That's just pathetic. Fuck.
Yeah, good stuff there. Some sad news. Carnage mentioned this in chat. Riders Republic will not be making its February 25th release date and will be delayed later this year. No release date yet.
I don't know that one, sadly.
I suspect that we're going to hear a lot of delays.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of
Cyberpunk, yeah.
Yeah, Outriders was delayed to April 1st. Only few weeks out from release, that one got delayed. Not a big delay, so I guess that one doesn't need as much extra work, but they're putting in the time that needs to be put in to make it a better game, and I like that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I fully support any time they want to delay to make their game better.
Yeah. Like Hogwarts Legacy, which has been pushed into 2022.
There's another.
Yeah, so a lot of delays over the break. Some more sad news. Battleborn is finally shutting down on January 25th. So if you were still playing that for some reason, you don't have much more time.
Terrible.
Is that free to play at this point?
I don't know.
Huh.
I have no clue. I have it on disc for some reason. There was like some stupid collector's edition with a mini figurine that I had. Because I'm a whore. I'm an outright absolute. Hey, I have a collector's edition import of Evolve. It comes with wristbands and a steelbook.
You deserve all the bad that happens to you because of this shit. Just so you know.
At this point, you cannot
Evolve.
At this point, you cannot download Battleborn from the Xbox site.
Ah, so
or purchase, I should say.
Cannot pick it up anymore. If you still have it, you only have a few more days to play it. So get on there and get your final achievements.
Joe, log in and get me some achievements.
Final achievements.
And then last bit of news I have is, to the delight of one of our favorite listeners, Zach Lyons, new Pokemon Snap is releasing April 30th on the Switch. I know Pokemon Snap is one of his favorite games, and he has been campaigning for a sequel for years now. So the fact that it's finally happening makes him super excited, and it's happening in April.
That's cool. I like that, because that was one of my favorite Pokemon games.
Yeah, it's delightful.
The kids have been waiting for it to come out, and I've just been watching for a release date, so I'm glad to finally have one. So number three can stop saying, will you buy us the Pokemon camera game yet? I'm like, I can't buy you something that doesn't exist yet, child. Now I just buy it and be like, leave me alone about Pokemon.
I'm excited about this because my wife surprised me one day and came home, and she was like, guess what I got? And I'm like, some crap for the house that I don't know. Like, she buys crap to improve the house, and I'm just like, I don't understand why we need this, but okay.
Shelf paper.
Yeah, no, like, and she like brought out like the Animal Crossing Switch, and I was just like, oh shit, okay. Suddenly I don't feel bad about blowing $30 on some Star Wars figures. Yeah. So
alternatively, you feel extra bad for spending $30 on Star Wars figures because she thought she had that $30 when she bought the Animal Crossing.
Well, see, the thing is that like she got her money from teaching a class and stuff like that. She was like, I've had a shit semester. We're in the pandemic. I'm buying this for me. I'm like, okay, I get it. And then I went off and bought like another like $50 worth of toys.
Dick.
Well, he was just like, well, no, because like, Christmas and my birthday were kind of weird this year, because we just haven't had time to shop for each other, and so we were essentially like, okay, just buy some shit on Amazon for yourself, and we'll call it a day. And so I was like, all right, well, I'm buying myself some Star Tours figures. Fantastic. Crap, what game were we talking about? We were talking about shit on the Switch.
Pokemon Snap. Pokemon Snap.
Thank you. Yeah, and so it's just like, normally I'd be like, oh, that's cool. And now I'm like, I'm fucking psyched for April. Like, it comes out April?
April 30th, yep.
Yeah, no, I'm now fucking psyched about this shit. Like, I don't think I'm going to play anything but, like, Nintendo, like, specifically Nintendo games on the Switch. But, yeah, no, I'm also a little drunk right now.
Nice. So. Raider Biz is saying that Pokemon Snap might be a $60 game. That would be a bummer if it's a $60 game.
I would
wouldn't surprise me.
I thought that would be like a $20, $30 digital download game, but
nah.
I don't know. We'll see what they do. It is Pokemon, so they could charge full price and get away with it.
I am fully prepared to pay $60 for it.
My body is ready.
All right. Well, anyone else have any news, or should we dive into reviews? It's been a while.
I do have news.
What do you want to talk about, Jacob?
Well, since we're on the subject of Nintendo, they picked up Next Level Games, the folks who made Luigi's Mansion and the Mario Strikers franchises.
Awesome, yeah. Jacob.
They announced that like 5 days ago. Minecraft Earth is coming to an end, which affects none of us.
or anybody which, else.
What even
that
is that?
So it was supposed to be kind of like Pokemon Go plus some other crap.
One of those shitty games. Okay.
Yeah, well, see, the funny thing was that, like, I follow Cliffy B on Twitter, and he was just like, oh man, I didn't even realize, like, they're ending it so quickly, and I was just like, shit, I didn't even realize it had come out. Like, I remembered it being announced. And then all these people are like, well, yeah, of course, like, you know, everyone forgot about it because, you know, they didn't really market it and blah, 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 but it was a really good game. And I'm just like, yeah, obviously not that much, but yeah. So it's ending in June. So you still have time to play it if you care to.
I'm good.
Yeah, no, I'm good too. Hogwarts Legacy. Also, here's another story that nobody cares about. Hogwarts Legacy has been delayed till 2022.
Yes, I mentioned that already.
We already talked about that.
Oh, you did?
You dickhead.
I'm busy drinking. Sorry. Universal Studios Japan is delaying the Super Nintendo World opening again, thanks to COVID.
Yeah, the Polish thing is still around.
Yeah, the Polish government is going after CD Projekt Red for Cyberpunk 2077. Saying that their investigation shows that they're at fault and they failed to deliver proper fixes, as in impossible to play on consoles. And if they continue to fail to do it, they're going to be docked up to 10% of their sales.
Ooh, damn.
Yeah. So they're like riding CD Projekt Red's ass right now.
Damn.
And the other thing is Arcade 1UP has announced a bunch of...
Arcade 1UP is announcing so much cool shit.
Dude, I'm excited about this. I mean, Dragon's Lair is kind of cool. There's going to be a Killer Instinct cabinet.
Killer Instinct 2, and Battletoads.
Yeah, it comes with two Battletoads games along with it. There's going to be some Atari stuff, some Pac-Man, and other Bandai stuff. Now, the one that I'm most excited about is the old Konami X-Men game is coming. Yes,
four-player cabinet, Arcade 1UP.
And nice. On top of that, it comes with... it comes with X-Men, but it also comes with Captain America and the Avengers, and the Avengers in Galactic Storm.
Which haven't been released any other way, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so, yeah. So that's pretty big. And then they're releasing a different type of Pong cabinet that was there back in like the 70s. It looks pretty wild. It's like a top-down version.
Arcade 1UP does so much cool shit. If I was rich, I would drop so much money on Arcade 1UP cabinets.
I've already told Jess we're getting the X-Men one. Like, nice. I'm just like, I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. It's happening. Like,
that game is so fun.
Oh, don't you want Star Wars? No, I want X-Men.
I also want Star Wars.
I do want Star Wars. I also want the Killer Instinct one, but yeah, I can't play that around one my kids. Is
so good.
Yeah. And then, do we want to cover the Xtillion, Xtillion, whatever?
Zetalon. I call them Zetalon, though.
I have no idea how they're pronounced. We need to ask that guy.
I've asked, and it's been like written out in emails, and I still can't get it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I think it's Zetalon. I don't know.
So, do we want to talk about it, or like because the news has already passed? It's like whatever.
News is passed. Whatever. We have reviews to get to. Let's talk about games. Everyone ready for reviews?
Sure. Yep.
Sure.
All right. We're going to start things off with Summer in Mara, developed and published by Chibig Studio, released January 5th on Xbox One for $24.99. Take care of your own island and explore the ocean in this farming adventure. Summer in Mara mixes farming, crafting, and exploring mechanic in a tropical archipelago with a colorful style and strong narrative. Cole, tell us about this one.
I'm just going to go ahead and say now I've been pronouncing this Summer in Mara, and you're just going to have to accept that.
Okay.
I also said Mara.
Okay, so Summer in Mara.
So that's okay.
So basically, this is a my time at Porsche's Stardew Valley-esque kind of farm simulator without like relying too heavily on the farming simulator aspects. It's very much meant to have kind of Animal Crossing type vibes as far as like the design element and everything goes in the homesteading. The premise of the game is that you play as a child named Koa, and Koa is left alone in the world of Mara following the loss of her grandmother Haku. Haku has taught you during the course of the tutorial, you play as a very young Koa, and she teaches you some really important things about the farm, like where to find the certain things that you'll need to keep things going, and also like you know, the basics of planting and the importance of planting a fucking tree whenever you chop one down, because resources do not self-replenish here.
You want to know what else is important?
What?
Give a shout out to No Time for Games for subbing for the 32nd month.
Oof.
That is insane. Incredible.
Fucking yeah!
That's right, Purnell. Fucking yeah. That is insane. So thank you, No Time. 32 months. That is insane. That is crazy. Thank you for your support. Mara, let's do this.
Excuse me. Now I had to hiccup because you interrupted me.
Good.
So, following Haku's death, we fast forward a little bit, and the island of Mara that you call your home is a little bit dilapidated, given that it's been under the care of an unsupervised miner for quite some time. And so, like, things like the pig pen has fallen down, and the chicken coop is empty, and there's no chickens anymore, and the garden has overgrown. But after an event that causes Koa to see a figure in the ocean, who she introduces herself to and names Napopo. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. That's the best I can get out of it. They don't ever actually speak during the game. There's dialogue bubbles, but they don't have, like, all the dialogue vocalized is like, and you're like, because you don't know how to pronounce any of the shit you're reading after that. So the whole point is to basically just, like, carry out quests for all the people that live in Mara, try to uncover the events that have led to Napopo arriving at your home island, trying to figure out how to get them home, who they are. And as you do this, you'll fix your boat up, and you'll be able to travel to all the other different islands. Everything in the world is laid out, like, on this grid of a map. And this leads me to the first thing that I want to brag about in Summer of Mara. In Mara. I keep wanting to call it Summer of instead of Summer in, but Summer in Mara. One of the things that I want to brag about the most is that this game has a really good fast travel system. Oh! So many of these games that want to encourage you to explore these large worlds will push you into exploring them and kind of force you into it by not allowing you to, like, fast travel between the islands, or you have to do X, Y, or Z event to fast travel. Summer and Mara is like, no, if you got the coins, you can go. If you don't have the coins, they function on a sliding scale fee. And so even if you have no coins, it'll still let you fast travel. It's just like, no, it just doesn't cost anything this time. Congratulations. I am so on board with this because it makes it accessible for kids to play. I completed the game, 1K'd it. I played the shit out of it. I was absolutely in love with it. But every time she'd see me playing it, number three would throw by and, like, crane her neck, and she'd go, can I play that when I'm done with schoolwork? And until I really got rooted into it and was sure it was going to be playable for, I was kind of concerned, because a lot of times games can look kid friendly and then actual gameplay mechanics kind of lock younger kids out of it.
Yeah.
And I kept waiting for the moment where Summer and Mara was going to be like, yeah, we look like we're for 5-year-olds, but good luck actually playing this shit. And it never actually reached it. Everything was laid out in such a way, it was all explained, it was all so cut and dry and just easy to play, that even though I, as an adult, was into it and really enjoying my time with it, my 8-year-old was able to just pick it up and sit down and get lost in it too. And she didn't find that there were any kind of mechanics that she struggled over the same way she did, like, when she was trying to learn to play Stardew Valley or something more advanced like that. It's definitely a great gateway for that
entry
that
level.
That, yeah,
good way to put,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's another. It's a good entry level game for this genre, as opposed to, you know, like I said, something like Stardew Valley that's just so overly complicated that it can lock younger players out. Another thing that I really enjoy that a lot of games in this genre don't have is that when it would send you on a quest, the majority of your gameplay, yeah, you can farm and stuff, but the majority of your gameplay is spent doing quests for people on the island to progress the story. In a lot of these games where you have to, like, craft and farm and create resources, usually if you're given a quest, it'll want you to have a certain item, say a sandwich, right? And then even if you already have a sandwich on you that would fit the quest requirements, it won't let you use it because you have to craft a new sandwich for the quest, right? Summer and Mara doesn't do that. If you take a quest and then it's like, bring me a sandwich. And you're like, bitch, I got 20 sandwiches in my backpack. They're like, okay, good. And you're done immediately. And you can just start the next quest. I love that. I love that so much.
That's how it should be.
I was so happy. It is how it should be.
That's handy as hell.
And then to top it off, there's a lot of instances in games like these where if you're traveling around a larger world, and Summer and Mara has a surprisingly large world. I was not expecting it. You may reach instances where you're like, oh, I have a quest to craft a sandwich, but I have to go home and to my kitchen to craft the sandwich, right? No. The other islands will have the workstations or the kitchen stove that you can go to. And you can craft right there without having to track all the way back home or paying fast travel coins to go back home. Craft what you need and then do it. I love that. Why do more games not do that? It was so easy. Or even if another thing that'll get me will be like a quest line will be like, oh, I need a sandwich. But it has to be a special sandwich specifically from this character, right? And in Summer and Mara, it's like, oh, I need a sandwich. And you're like, okay, I don't have a sandwich, but I got all the parts to make a sandwich. And I don't want to go see that character. So I'm just going to craft the sandwich and give it to you. And it's like, that's cool. Thanks for going after it. And I am 100%... on board with anything that makes it easier, especially in a game that large that wants to have you trek around a whole lot, because you're still going to be doing a lot of backtracking, but it gives you the freedom to, you know, stock up on things for quests that you're going to come across and then just not have to go back quite as much. That said, I still spent, I think I spent a good 30 or 40 hours playing this game.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's what I spent too.
I loved it so much. And then the terrible part was I got the completion in it. And then I finished playing and I beat the story and I sit down. And I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do now?
Keep playing.
Your next review game.
I want to.
Now, out of curiosity, that 35, 40 hours you're talking about, was that 2,000 out of 1,000 out of it? Or were you like taking your time and like doing other shit in the game?
I mean, you're going to get the 1,000 just by doing the quests and stuff. There's not particularly anything that you're going to do that's not related to getting the achievements. And that's the other thing. Like, it's not that they don't load up the achievements to any point where you feel like you have to go do something that you wouldn't actually be doing if you were just playing casually. It all comes about from interacting. All the quests are tied together so that you need to speak to certain people to do certain things to move the story on.
So I'm guessing it's a lot of sandwich making.
No, it's just sandwiches were easy things for me to remember I had to make. Sometimes you have to make vegetable oil, and sometimes you have to make pumpkin pie, and sometimes you've got to make paper because the other dude on the island who has paper wants to sell it for $3,000 a sheet.
I just want to point out the unprompted, you said oil and pie.
Uh-huh.
You did that by yourself.
Yeah.
So, Summer in Mara, $24.99. What do you think?
I love the game, and I think everybody should play it. So buy it.
Pick this up again.
Cool. Works for me. Next game to talk about is called Skycadia, developed and published by Studio Nissi, I don't know. I'm ruining it.
Nissi,
maybe.
No, I don't know.
It might be.
Pronounced it Niss.
N-I-S-S-E. So do with that what you will. Released January 22nd. On Xbox One for $9.99, the world of Skycadia is overrun with sky pirates, and there's profit to be made. Take to the skies and collect bounties by shooting down the scoundrels in this lighthearted flying adventure. Jacob, tell us about this one.
So, pretty much, this thing is kind of like I guess you'd call it like a roguelike Star Fox 64. It's also very similar to Skyrogue, which I reviewed last year, I think.
Well, we'll definitely not be this year.
Well, thank you, Joe. very good.
Yeah.
So pretty much it's just, there's this planet that you can fly around on, and you're playing as these little bounty hunter guys, and you just fly around and you shoot these bugs out of the sky, and coins fall. You collect the coins, you move on to other bugs, and you just keep shooting them. And that's pretty much it. Like, your health depletes, your plane crashes, and you go right back at it again, over and over and over again. Honestly, I thought the gameplay was pretty addictive. The controls were pretty easy to master, and I had a lot of fun with it. My main issues with it, supposedly this one's going to get fixed. There's going to be like an in-game stat tracker, so you know where exactly you stand with the money. Because your first upgrade doesn't unlock until you've reached 20,000, and as you're starting, it is such a damn slog to get to 20,000 that I had to ask Carnage. I was just like, dude, does it stack, or is it like, do I have to get 20,000 in one game? Because honestly, if it was like 20,000 in one round, I was gonna be like, yeah, fuck this game, sorry, Joe. But Carnage thankfully was like, yeah, it stacks. And the guy who made it was just like, yeah, I didn't think Xbox users would be that, like, would really care about it, because I figured you'd all just track it through the achievements and that's it. But in the next update, he said in the next update, it will be in there. But as of today, the update has not dropped. I don't know if I don't know if they can update before a game actually launches.
Yeah, they can update anytime. So,
oh well, yeah,
this could be fixed before the game launches.
So. Yeah,
it could be fixed right now.
Yeah, it's not going to be fixed right now because I ran update before I got on the show tonight. So, but it's just like, you know, the rounds are real quick. Like, I don't think I ever lasted longer than like 5 minutes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I'm waiting for the jokes.
I tried so hard not to, but
stifled laughter was enough. That's all we needed.
Yeah, that would maybe just be like, yeah, I gotta make the joke now.
Yeah. So like the rounds like last like 5 minutes. I think I've gotten up to 15. I think I've gotten up to like $1,500 dollars per round. And I've only unlocked like the second guy. I haven't played for 5 hours, but that's how long it takes to get 1,000 out of 1,000 on it.
This wasn't my review, and I played more than you, and I'm disappointed in you. I did better because my max was 2,400.
Okay, every single time I fire up the Alto collection, I just like I got farther than Cole. Like,
I haven't played that in a while. I really need to.
Yeah. I pass you and Joe like every single time I hop on the board. Anyway.
I usually just stop anytime I've collected the goals for that.
Yeah.
Skycadia. Chris, right, you played this one a bit. What did you think of it?
Okay.
That's somebody who's actually good at opinions talk.
Oh, come on.
Ow.
Yikes.
But I haven't played it, Cole.
Yeah, like I said, somebody good at opinions.
Hey, my opinion.
I like it. I like that it's so. To talk about like the look of it a little bit, I think is important because it's got this kind of really bright, low polygon or sprite based like presentation, but done in like a 60 frames per second type of deal. So it looks like a really pretty mini game that you might see in like Mega Man Legends. Like,
yeah, that's fair. It feels like PS1 or Nintendo 64.
Yeah, exactly. But running on, you know, in modern frame rate. And yeah, I had the same problem. I had no idea when I would get blowed up, which, you know, does happen. Whether, you know, my money was actually going to anything or not. So it's good to know that that's going to change, because really that was my only complaint. It's got a cute soundtrack. It's
repetitive,
cool.
Though.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's the nature of the game.
Yeah. I know, but it would be nice if like they like could cycle through like two or three tracks.
That's true. It would be nice if it had more songs. No. But you know, it's...
I was the person who just muted the soundtrack and played my own music while I was playing it.
Yeah. Well,
aren't you hardcore?
I do that with most games, to be honest.
This sounds better with Incubus.
Yeah, everything sounds better with Incubus. I do want to interject, though, for a second and bitch about the scan lines. I wanted to be able to turn the scan lines off.
I don't think mine had scan lines on it.
Does it not? Mine had scan lines.
Let me look right quick. I don't know if mine did. Maybe I pushed it out of my brain or something like that. Like just.
Maybe we're so good, unlike Cole. You know.
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe you guys found.
I like how all of us are loading the game right now to see if there's scan lines.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't seem to remember.
Yeah, there are scan lines.
I don't know. I had another complaint.
Yes, I'm looking at it on Steam, and there are scan lines.
Yeah, but you're playing it on Steam. We're playing it on...
No, I played it on Xbox.
Oh.
Bitch, please.
Yeah, there's definitely some form of, like, lines to the the visual style. So I know what you're talking about, Cole.
Yeah, I guess it... They're so subtle to me, and also just the fact that, like, there's so much dithering also going on just because of the graphic style.
Mm-hmm.
That, I for once, and I'm usually really, I usually complain endlessly about scan lines, but I actually didn't notice it as much on that one.
No, I wanted those fuckers gone.
At least it does let you.
Everything else I was fine with, but I just wanted those fuckers gone.
At least it does let you, you know, invert the y-axis.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so that's a buy it for me.
I was going to say, my only other issue with the gameplay is that it felt like the planes would stall out at, like, a very low height. And so it was just like, I mean, I get that it's just like, you know, they're trying to keep this round short. But it was just like felt like I would just go a little bit up in the air and all of a sudden like my guy's vision would get blurry and like or my engine would crap out. And it's just like, dude, this is I don't know. It just I wish it didn't do it as frequently during the dogfights. I haven't encountered this kind of crap since like Independence Day on the PlayStation to go with like a way
well,
back.
There you go. Yeah, more PS1 throwback.
Oh, damn. That's right. Oh.
Okay, well.
I still think that's kind of crap.
$10. I need a verdict on this one. What do the three you think?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Absolutely. I say buy it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm okay with it.
Cool. Good to hear everyone liked it. All right, well, Jacob, that's it for you.
Yay.
You heading out or are you sticking around?
The less I have to deal with Cole, the better. So I'm heading out. It only took me like 5 tries to say heading out.
Yeah, you're drunk. Do you have any final words?
No. Happy New Year, you fuckers.
Happy cool New Year.
All right, next game to talk about is called Iris Fall, developed by Next Studios, published by PM Studios, released January 7th on Xbox One for $19.99. Using gameplay with light and shadow, the concept of light and shadow runs throughout the design of the game's story, art, and puzzles. Switch between light and shadow and pass through the two realities as you experience unique interlacing of black and white as well as both 2D and 3D. Sounds like a unique experience, Cole. What do you think?
I'm jealous. Yet,
this unique experience is unique and an experience. this is a puzzle platformer that makes use of like a shadow technique where everything is grayscale and, where there is spotlighting, then you have, like a shadow world that you can send your character into and you uncover the events of the story as you progress through, the different environments. Making use of light and shadow to move around. So if you are the girl in the real world, you can move around certain objects and interact with them. But then once you come to an obstacle, you may need to manipulate items that are in the real world so that their shadows line up. because then you're going to stand on a book and convert to the shadow world. And at that point, you will no longer control a girl in the physical realm because she won't be there anymore. You'll then control her shadow as it moves about through the spotlighting. And then once it reaches the other side, there will be another book that you can transform back into the real world in. I would like to be all like, oh, this is a unique thing. I've played other games with this mechanic before. Most notably, I was reminded of a level in Luna that had this. So it kind of took away a little bit of the puzzle element to it, because I was already going into it like, I know how to solve these kind of puzzles.
Yeah.
There's only so many ways you can move platforms around in Shadow. I will say, It's I commend them for turning it an entire game out based around this premise. But again, it is a little bit limiting because there's only so many things you can do when everything is tied to what you can do with a shadow, right?
Yeah.
But I think they did a pretty good job. There was an interesting level where like there were eyes on a wall and you had to stand in front of the spotlights to block the eyes, for example. So they did a decent job of moving it, of using it creatively. Nothing really stands out that makes me go, ah, this is crazy, and I've never seen anything like it's not a genre breaker, but it does what it does well enough that I'm not mad about it.
Yeah.
I really like the art style. 10 out of 10 on the chins. They weren't pointy. So we all know how much I love those.
Your anime chins.
So, you know, kudos there. Did a good job. Lost my train of thought.
Proud of you.
Got focused.
We're back, people. We're back. Paul's forgetting what she's talking about. We are back.
I blame the Sudafed tonight because I haven't had my Vicodin yet. Shit. What was I going to say?
I don't know. What were you going to say?
Moving around the 3D world. The shadow world is one thing, but moving around the 3D world is a little more clunky than I would have liked. There were times where I just kind of struggled to get the character to go up the stairs because the stairs are like spiral. And so the way you have to like have her going up, but also rotating, because you can't rotate the camera. It's a fixed camera angle, but like you're trying to rotate her up the stairs. There were times where I was just like, this is more effort than it's worth. Maybe I was just tired and particularly pissy, and so like the element of trying to move her around was more of a pain in the ass than it should have been. But she would like get hung up on the most random things in the room, and it was difficult to get her to navigate the stair sometimes, or just going in a doorway would be an effort. And I was just like, if she moved just a smidge better, this would be a really awesome game. But my biggest complaint was just the character's movement in the world was not good.
No.
But at least that's the biggest complaint at the same time. Like, there's nothing else that did kill my Xbox or anything. So there was nothing else to be like, ah, this was terrible. It was just like, she's clunky. There's even an achievement for it. There's an achievement for knocking over a coal bucket next to a fireplace. Had too much time off and I haven't been practicing my non-redneck.
The fireplace.
So, like, there's an achievement for it, and I did it just without even thinking about it because I was trying to move her normally.
God.
So, I think to an extent, they know she's a clunky walker because it's literally the achievement is like clumsy, knock it over, and you can't not do it. So, I don't know. I was frustrated by that one, but other than that, I thought it was solid.
Well, then overall, $20, what do you say?
$20 is kind of a high price. I'm going to be honest, but it's a shorter game. I guess it kind of depends on like how much time you get out of trying to solve the puzzles and how fast you are at that shit, because if you can kind of roll through them quickly like me, you're it's not going to feel as much like you're getting your time out of it.
No.
So it can feel a little more like a try it. I think I'm going to roll with a recommended try it.
It works for me.
A little polish could go a long way. And that's pretty much the biggest aspect for it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next game is called Life of Fly, developed and published by EpixR. It released January 14th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $14.99. Life of Fly features 12 short stories, each revolving around the life and weird thoughts of another fly. Be prepared to experience some very unusual content, some interesting thoughts that go way beyond the normal life of a fly, and some entertaining short stories with a twist. Aki, tell us about Life of Fly.
Okay. You play as 12 different flies. That's about it. Have fun. Okay. In this, the main gameplay mechanic is you just move a flying fly around to go through these golden rings, basically. And every time you go through one, a little bit of their inner thoughts, a story they're telling, whatever, is said, and you just go find the next one. And you do that until you've hit them all. And then the level's over. That there you go.
Wow. That's it?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. Each fly is a different emotion, a different way of looking at things. Like, there's the opportunistic fly, the lonely fly, the stubborn fly, etc., etc. And that's really all there is. You just fly around a location and you go through the rings. There's usually in the mid to late 20s of rings that you have to fly into in most levels. There's a few that are a little longer and a few that are really short, but most of them are in the 20s. And yeah, there's no real way to lose the game or anything. You just... If you run into things, you do end up restarting at whatever the last one you touched, last ring you went through. You restart there to go find the other ring. And that's really all there is. It is interesting. The stories they tell are interesting. It kind of reminds me of a YouTuber that I follow that they do skits. Based on their inner emotions and stuff. And this felt like someone had watched a lot of his work and then created this thing about flies. So it's interesting in the concept of the stories that the flies tell, but the gameplay is kind of boring because literally you're just angling the fly because the fly always flies straight ahead. So you're just angling it to go to the next circle and that's it. That's really all there is to it. If you are photosensitive, do not play this game. I had 2 or 3 seizures playing it because I'm stupid and I kept playing.
What caused it?
First off, your fly it shines golden the entire time. Always. They're always shining gold. And there's lots of little yellow particle physics that are going around the fly all the time. And then lots of times there's also yellow or white particle physics that are just around the screen. I don't know what they're supposed to be. So they're always little things. Yeah, maybe. Always little things flickering the entire time. And then when you get close to the rings are also glowing. Sometimes they'll blend into the background because of that, but usually they don't. But they're glowing and they have these weird, like if you've watched Star Trek, when they warp speed, how all the stars and shit get pulled in lines around the ship and everything. It's kind of like that around the rings, except for they're really bright and they shift based on where you are because they always try to angle at the same angle. And if you turn, they start turning and it's not good. If there was an option to turn off particle physics, this would be a lot safer. But there isn't. There's not very many options in this, sadly.
Something for the devs to look into. Was there a warning at the beginning about photosensitivity or anything?
I don't believe there was, no.
They might want to look into adding one, possibly.
Yeah, and adding something to get rid of the particle physics would go a long way to that, too.
Yeah.
Because, whew.
Well, overall, $15, what do you say?
I'm going to have to pass on this, because the game, like, the stories are kind of interesting, but you can fill that out in, like, 5-10 minutes to tell all those stories, whereas the game takes, like, a couple hours, and it's just angle and wait.
Is it at least easy achievements?
Oh, yeah. Literally all the achievements is just, there's 12 achievements. Guess what they're for? There's 12 flies.
Gotcha. So it's an easy one if you want achievements. There you go. Yeah.
If you're not photosensitive, this will take you maybe 2-2.5 hours. And it's just for beating each level. That's it. Oh. And that's all you have to do is angle the fly to the fucking ring until you've gotten through all the wings. It's easy. So, yeah. But I'll have to pass on it at that price. Yeah, maybe if it sense. Was like... Maybe if it was like $5, maybe I'd be a lot more up for it because again, the stories are, lots of them are somewhat interesting. The concepts that are behind them can be kind of interesting, but the gameplay is kind of god awful, because it's just angle and wait, angle and wait. It's maybe
it's more, it's more an experience than a game.
Yeah.
Unique experience.
Sure, we'll go with unique, yeah. Because again, there's a YouTuber I follow who does this stuff as skits that are much longer and better. So,
oh, God. All right, well, next game to talk about is called Down in Bermuda, developed and published by Yak & Co., released January 14th on Xbox One, Switch, and PC for $19.99, and a natural storm leaves an adventurous aviator stranded for decades within the infamous Bermuda. Overcome creatures of the deep and unravel the island's secrets in search of a way back home. Cole, tell us about Down in Bermuda.
I feel as though you're supposed to technically be lost in the Bermuda Triangle, but for some reason they're really opposed to using the word triangle, and it's a little weird. Yeah. Like, I can't figure it out. When you land on a tutorial island in a plane crash, and the first thing you do is push a bunch of buttons on a box to open a door, and a sleepy turtle wearing glasses comes out and tells you they've been trapped in there for 563 years, it's pretty safe to assume you're in the Bermuda Triangle.
I'm so jealous. The more you talk about it, the more jealous I get.
It is. So overwhelmingly weird story-wise that you can't help but be charmed by it. For gameplay, it's definitely obvious it started its life on Apple Arcade. Not that that's a bad thing, it's just that it's definitely noticeable that a lot of the gameplay mechanics are point-click, point-click. No. You can see how it would be reasonable that it was a touchscreen game. I think this is probably the greatest thing to hold against it, though, because they've ported the controls to the controller and bound them in such a way that even with having beaten it, it's still really hard to navigate with it. Like, you move your mouse cursor with your thumb, but you gotta move the screen with your left thumb. You gotta move your screen with the D-pad. And then you've got to, like, rotate with the right thumbstick. So you can't just, like, use the right thumbstick to move the screen down and turn it around. You've got to do the D-pad and the thumbstick for that.
Yeah, I'll be honest. The whole time I was playing this, I was thinking how much better it would be on the Switch than me playing it on Xbox.
The controller binding is just trash. I'm really, really sorry. But everything else about it I loved. Like, it's basically just, you know, find a puzzle on the map somewhere, push the buttons, put in a code, whatever the actual puzzle sequence recalls for. You can find a star map, makes it a little easier to find all the orbs on the island. You just progress by unlocking the islands, and you get the story as you do that. It's wonderful, and it's charming. I love the art style. It's all very simple. It's relaxing. It's a great game to like load up and play when you're trying to wind down or when you just want to chill and not put in a lot of effort.
No.
Except for the fact that the controller bindings will make you want to break something.
Again, that's why I'm saying Down in Bermuda might be something better suited for the Switch or PC as opposed to Xbox. I love seeing it on Xbox. I'm glad they brought it over to it, but it's something control wise that's definitely going to shine on the Switch with its touch controls.
I was desperately hoping to see that it was at least Play Anywhere, because a lot of times when we get these kind of games, I'll make use of Play Anywhere and play them on my computer because obviously the mouse would be better suited for some of them. And especially because how much I play point and clicks, the mouse is just a better option.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, please be Play Anywhere when I loaded it up on the Xbox. And then I looked in my ready to install and it wasn't there. And I just wanted to cry.
Damn.
And I still played it because I loved it so much. Just would have been, I don't know, give me controller binding options or something, but the controller just doesn't work with it.
Well, overall, $20. What do you think of Down in Bermuda?
I really wish it was Play Anywhere at $20, man. I'm gonna go for a really recommended try it. Just know what you're getting into with that controller.
Yeah, I'd say if you're on the Switch, it's definitely a buy it. If you're on Xbox, it's a try it. So it depends on the system that you're on. If you've only got an Xbox and you're still interested in trying it, it's still worth checking out. It's a great game. Yeah. It's just control wise, it's weird.
I just really can't get used to the controls.
No. All right. Well, next game to talk about is Blacksmith of the Sand Kingdom, developed by Iridion Inc., published by Kemco, released January 7th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows 10 for $19.99. Volker, a blacksmith's son, always dreamed of becoming an adventurer, but he finds himself adventuring, aiming to become a court blacksmith. At the same time, the adventurer blacksmith begins his journey. Chris, tell us about Blacksmith of the Sand Kingdom.
Okay, well, if if you follow Kemco RPGs like I do, then you've probably noticed that there aren't a lot of games that are like this. In fact, there is one, and it is Meridian Tavern Story, which so this is the second Iridion Incorporated title that is being published by Kemco. Now, I found out, and I didn't know this last time, I bamboozled myself by not researching this better. They're actually the developer of the Mercenaries Saga series of games, which started on 3DS and ended up on Switch. That's important for a reason in a minute. But if you didn't know, the Mercenary Saga series is like basically a modern but also throwback like Final Fantasy Tactics style strategy RPG. And, you know, they've got several of them, and, you know, it really is a saga. These are those guys, except that instead of Circle Entertainment, this is being published by Kemco. So, basically, if you took everything I said about Meridian Tavern Story and took away cooking and added in blacksmithing, then you've got my review for for this game. It is so, like, everything down to, like, even there being, like, I'm the magical spirit of blacksmithing, like, kind of character in this game. So, but, you know, I'll still go over it because that's my due diligence. So basically what happens is that, yeah, you have your character. Now, unlike the other game, you do simply build a team of, like, you know, five characters. You don't, like, you know, they aren't incorporated by the story. You just get these characters. And this one actually relies also on the job system, which will remind you of a tactical RPG such as Mercenary Saga or Final Fantasy Tactics. You start off with five jobs, and as you progress, you unlock more jobs. You also, like in the Etrian Odyssey series, you eventually unlock subclasses where you can, you know, throw in, you know, have a knight that also can do like half of what a white mage can do. Well, priest in this game. Anyways, so you get that. So the game takes place in two parts. One is where it is going out and adventuring, which is to say going out into a fixed dungeon that is just like maybe, you know, several rooms large and going from room to room. Enemies are on the map. You can avoid them, but you really want to fight them because not only do you get your experience points that way, you also get materials, which is the lifeblood of progress in this game, is getting materials in order to then take them back to your workshop, create items, and then put the items up for sale. And then, you know, the game takes place in days, so you can do a few things. You know, like Meridian Tavern story, you can only go to a dungeon once a day. Once you leave the dungeon, you have to like then wait till the next day in order to go back. So you kind of like want to do as much as you can. The other thing about it is that you can't heal in the dungeon without using an item. And of course, items are limited. You know, you can go to the tavern and, you know, eat a meal and that will restore all your stuff, but you can only do that once a day. So you're, you know, that's kind of going. So that kind of like eases, or, you know, it kind of like, you know, does a little push into like progressing the game, how the game kind of wants you to progress. However, like, you know, you can go into the dungeon and like you can repeat fights and things like that. If you're like strong enough to survive many battles, then you can get all the material. And so that's like the one half of the game. And you can also like there's dig points where you can dig up treasure. And of course, you can improve your pickaxe, you know, at certain points, and that will get you better and rarer things. You know, it's all about finding the best stuff, but also a volume of stuff. And that's that brings me to the second part of the game, which is the actual workshop. So you go around the town, like it's, you know, just choosing a place, like, you know, go to item shop, go to, you know, it's that kind of town. It's, you don't walk around in it. And, you know, that actually, like everything else, kind of minimizes the interaction that you get to actually have when the story's not moving. So, you know, that's either good or bad, depending on how much you like your simulations versus your actual RPG stories. Because it's a little thin on the ground on this one, the storyline. But anyways, you know, you choose to go to like your different places and, you know, buy items and, you know, eat a meal, whatever, and then go to your workshop and craft the items. Now, crafting the items, of course, you're taking your raw materials that you got from the dungeon and like you turn like raw cotton into cotton, and then you turn cotton into cotton braids, and then you turn cotton braids combined with some other, you know, there's a few tiers of items before you actually start crafting weapons. And of course, all the weapons, you know, you can eat your own cooking, and, you know, in a way, that is to say, if you make like a really nice sword, you can equip it to your knight instead of like selling it. But of course, you want to sell all your stuff so that you get more money, so you can kind of, you know, do the whole thing over again. And then, like I said, that kind of progresses the story. The battles are pretty cool. Like, they're presented in a kind of isometric Breath of Fire or Suikoden sort of way. You know, like, I haven't gotten super far into the job system, so I can't say how, like, spectacular it all is, but it's actually kind of fun to like play around with different jobs and stuff. It's nice that you're not locked into, you know, only having these characters be, you know, a certain type. No. And you know, I like the music. The graphics are really good. It's like kind of PlayStation-y, kind of nicer looking, I think, than your average Chemco RPG. But of course, if you've played Mercenary Saga or Meridian Tavern, it's exactly the same look. Music, I don't think, is as good as Meridian Tavern. I'm just going to straight up say it. I think Meridian Tavern had a much more banging soundtrack. But anyways, having said all that, this is basically, yeah, the kind of game, it feels like it wants to be like this kind of strategy RPG at times, with the robust job system and like the whole collection and gathering and like micromanagement of like basically your stats and like your stuff. And also the fact that it just doesn't lean very hard on the story. And less so even than Meridian Tavern, because Meridian Tavern builds your party through interacting with other characters, whereas in this game, you just choose the characters and go. So it mostly focuses on the one character and like a couple of other non-playable characters that, like, you know, like I said, there's a god of blacksmithing that's a cute little anime thing, and then a girl who does not fight, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of cool, like, for people who like to just zone out and do the crafting, battling, like, you know, the just kind of going through the cycle without having to remember what everybody's name is. It's really good for that. I would say for, you know, people looking for an epic saga of a unique experience that they should maybe seek out something else, such as the wonderful Kemco Hit Point RPGs. So
cool. So overall, $20 on this one. What is your official verdict on
this?
Blacksmith of the Sand Kingdom. People have said that we don't repeat the game titles enough, so I'm trying to work in the game titles more.
Yeah, I think I didn't say it even once. I am going to say for $20. If you don't already own Meridian Tavern Story, this is a buy it for RPG fans. If you do have Meridian Tavern Story, then, and you have, you know, it's just sitting around and you're not playing it, you're probably not going to play this one either. Unless you're just the exact person who's like, I love the gameplay of it, but I hate cooking. Why can't it be blacksmithing? If you're that person and you own Meridian Tavern Story, also pick this one up. Cool. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. So I would say, yeah, it's a solid game.
Cool. Works for me.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is The Pillar Puzzle Escape, developed by Paper Bunker and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released January 13th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $9.99. Explore islands that each offer unique environments and secrets to discover. Remain aware of your surroundings as they change and evolve like a lucid dream. With every challenge you overcome, you grow closer to escaping the mythical maze and waking up from the elaborate cage that's trapped you inside. Paul, tell us about The Pillar.
This is a first-person puzzle game. It's a little odd in that you actually move around in the environment with the puzzles, and then like you'll walk up to a screen and then you'll have to solve a puzzle where it may in one instance have like colored blocks, and you've got to connect the colored blocks without intersecting the colors. Or
I love those puzzles, by the way. I was so happy when I fired this game up and saw those puzzles.
Me too. And then it came to the puzzles where you have to remember which path the colored lines took.
Yeah,
I hate those
motherfuckers.
I'm old now, and I use copious amounts of medication to make myself function, which debilitates my brain function. And so remembering, not a fan. I would absolutely trade out the puzzles that have you trying to remember the past. I've needed to sneeze for the last 5 minutes. That's where I'm going to just randomly sneeze in this review. I just felt like getting that warning out so I don't just randomly like sneeze and hit my head on the microphone and knock myself unconscious. And then you guys be like, did she die? Because the answer will be yes. Cool. I would trade out those memory puzzles a million times over for the other ones that just have you drawing the lines. I love those. As you solve each puzzle, usually three or four puzzles will pass, and then you will pop up a whole nother row of puzzles that you'll have to do before you can go anywhere else. It's all very much just explore around, find puzzles, and find the occasional collectible. I've seen people compare this game, The Pillar, to The Witness, and I can't actually speak to that because I've never played The Witness. And when people were like, oh, you have to play it because it's like The Witness, and I'm like, well, but I haven't played that one either. Then I felt like I was missing out on something because I actually really enjoyed The Pillar. I don't know that I would say it was a unique experience.
Why did you give her this?
We should just change our review scale to, was it a unique experience?
Cole, you need to get The Witness. It's on sale all the time.
I know. It was even in Game Pass, and I had it installed, and I just never had time to play it because I'm busy playing all the review games that I take so that you can have some.
Exactly. Let me fucking have some games, bitch. Shit. I mean, you took three of them now. Three of them in this one day. Fuck you. Ah, oh, I hate you so much.
So when I can't see, it's because Aki is cursed. when I can't sneeze, it's because Aki's cursing me for taking her games. But
I do that all the time, though.
I mean, for the puzzle experience, it's solid. It's fine. It moved well. It played well. It didn't have any laggy issues.
I wish you moved faster.
Like, yeah, I got used to it. But yeah, I'm always pro, let me hold a button down and move faster.
Like that maze level where the one puzzle was you had to walk to the one, then walk around to another, then walk around to another. And if you got it wrong, you had to start over. Like,
yeah,
fuck you. Just I had to walk back, then hit the one, then walk over to the other, then walk all the way over. Oh, my God. Just let me move quicker.
I would like to say, for achievements, there are achievements for beating each area. There's three, I think. For beating each area with 70% or better. And I don't understand that because there's no timers. There's no, like...
There's no indication of what percentage you're at unless you go back to the main menu.
I was so frustrated. I was like, do I need to start over? Am I doing okay? And then the achievement didn't pop, or the achievement would pop, and I'd be like, what did I do? I don't understand. I was so confused. If you are going to put an achievement on a game where you need to like hit some kind of benchmark, for the love of God, put a means to track that benchmark in the game. That is the only thing I have to bitch about here. Everything else I was fine with. Hey, there's collectibles. I can find a collectible. It tells me I have 1 out of 6. I know I need to find 5 more. If I fail a puzzle 10 times, I don't know how many percents that puzzle is worth if you don't tell me. I'm annoyed by this.
You'll get over it.
I was lucky that I got them all on the first run through. The one I got a 71%. I was like, oh, thank God. I just scraped by the skin of my teeth on that one because I didn't want to have to redo the stage. I have to get that achievement.
Maze. I have to redo the maze. I think I had like 67% or something like that. Because I got frustrated. Well, the problem was I got looking for a collectible and I didn't want to move to the next area. And then I got frustrated. I was like, fuck it. I'll come back and find a collectible later. And then I moved to the next area and the collectible was there. I think the slowdown was what affected it while I was looking for that collectible. But I don't know because I don't know what affects the percentages.
Oh, man. Well, overall, $10 on the Pillar Puzzle Escape. What do you think about it?
Overall, $10. I think it's a buy it. It's fine for what it is. I don't have any complaints other than the percentage thing. And yeah, I had a good time with it.
This is one of those games where I wish there were more achievements.
I don't. I like easy completions.
Well, I love easy completions as well, but it was only through 4 stages and there were a couple more. I wouldn't have minded having to play more.
They weren't popping very often. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have minded seeing a achievements for a couple more levels in the game to keep people driving further into it, but I know the cool thing now is to make achievements half the game and then you're done.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, next game to talk about is called Glitch's Trip, developed by Ransack Studios, published by Rogue Games, released January 13th on Xbox One for $12.99. In this vibrant and cute action platformer, 4 intergalactic tyrants are harvesting the life force of Glitch's planet help Glitch take them down before his home decays into dust. Serlina covered this one, wrote in a review. This is what she's got to say. Greetings, SML friends and fam. Happy New Year. And to celebrate the new year, your girl Serlina is reviewing Glitch's Trip for the Xbox One. Developed by Ransack Studios and published by Rogue Games, Glitch's Trip is a dual-sticking action-adventure platforming speedrunner that puts you in control of Glitch, a cute, glowy alien that must save his homeworld from certain peril. Let's get to the review. Upon first inspection, the story seems fairly light. It's surprisingly nuanced and a little scary. There's a substance called moon juice that inhabits this world they use to sustain themselves. In order to get it, the four major breweries of said moon juice must drain the life force of other planets to make it. When I read that, I was like, what the what? Naturally, Glitch's planet is next on the life-draining list, and he's got to do what he can to stop that. While the story is intriguing, you might not see the rest because the game is soul-crushingly hard. I can agree with that.
All right, I know a game I'm not going to play now.
Glitch's Trip is a speedrunner's wet dream or unending nightmare, depending on how you look at it. The first levels are easy enough, but once I got past the fifth level, the game's teeth pop out and sank into my flesh. The premise is easy, get to the end of the level, but there are many things that want to stop you from doing that. I encountered three types of baddies that I affectionately named Shaker because it looks like a salt shaker, Pig 1000, Terminator Piggy, and Eyes because it's a mechanical circular thing with an eye. These are easily dispatched because you have a cannon that also shoots things at them, but then they swarm you en masse. It's an issue. But there are lovely things like lava pits, spikes, and my personal favorite, lava pits surrounded by spikes. You have to have incredibly precise stick movement to be able to navigate these and get to the end of the levels. Moving on, the level design is quite wonderful. Even though it's challenging, it all makes sense. There aren't lava pits surrounded by spikes just because the devs want chaos. The pit is there for a reason. The game looks beautiful as well. It's got a lovely virtual computer vibe to it. The colors are glowy but not saturated. I really enjoyed that. Music in the game is really awesome and fits well into the overall aesthetic. Now, Ursel also earn cosmetics for Glitch based on the amount of moon juice you collect in levels, and that's pretty awesome. You get different glyphs, hats, glasses, and shoes if you can get that precious moon juice, which segues perfectly into what I didn't care for the game. First, I didn't like the controls at all. I understand them, but I don't like them. In order to jump, you have to press the left trigger. That's just unwholesome. You can fiddle with the game controls and buttons as you like, but this is a dual stick game. You can move with the left stick or shoot with the right stick, mapping your jump to where it actually belongs, either A or X, will cause immediate problems. Second, you have to have a shield to help you bypass damage, which is fine. Issue is you can't move while using your shield, and that's hella annoying. I get the mechanic, still annoying. Another thing, this game is long. There are four worlds, each world has its own levels. Now I'm crap at this game, so I wasn't able to get past the first world, but the first world has 25 levels. No reason to think that the other levels are shorter, and looking over the achievement list, they are out of your league, trust me. Finally, remember all those collectibles I talked about? If this game is too much for you, you'll never see them, which is sad because I want to make Glitch pretty. Bless you. Glitch's Trip is available on the Xbox One and other platforms for $12.99, and should you buy it, if you're a hardcore dual-sticking, speed-running gamer who needs a new challenge, buy it. You'll get your money's worth. Everyone else, a tentative try it. This is not my game, but that doesn't mean it isn't a good game. Very good game, and even though I screamed at it many times, I enjoyed my time with it. Mostly, damn lava pits. Works for me. I had fun with it, but yeah, that's a hard game. I struggled with it. I don't know if anyone else played Glitch's Trip at all or not.
Is that the one where I said I noped out the moment I saw the difficulty comment?
Yes.
Yeah, I was. I've learned.
Yeah. Well, speaking of tough games, the final game to talk about tonight is called Freddy Spaghetti, developed by Playful Pasta, published by Rattlake Games. This one released back in December on the 15th for PS4 and PS5, 16th for Xbox, 18th on the Switch for $4.99. Meet Freddy. Freddy is spaghetti. Oh, and conscious. Follow along Freddy's story as you plunge headfirst into challenges and obstacles created in a laboratory machine by the brilliant Dr. P Star. Freddy's story turned out to be quite the adventure that would follow. Overcome the environment. Master your spaghetti. Cole, tell us about it.
You are a sentient piece of spaghetti. And you have to use the triggers, the left trigger and the right trigger, to get from part A of the world where you start to part B where you end.
And it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Can I be honest? Really did not enjoy this game.
I got to be honest. I wasn't feeling it either. And I'm a fan of like goofy control games like Octodad and God, I'm blanking on the name. Human Fall Flat, shit like that. Gang Beasts. Yeah. I'm a fan of stuff like that, but this one just controlled really weird and I could not get it.
I fumbled around the entire time I was playing it. And excuse me if I'm a little blurry because I played it last month.
Yeah, we got this. This was like right on the cutoff of us going to break. I honestly thought that Radaleka was going to keep releasing games during break, and their breaks lasted pretty much just as long as ours did. So I thought we would have
freedom.
I thought we would have a Radaleka showcase when we came back.
So instead of a showcase, we just have Freddy's Spaghetti, and I barely remember it because all I remember is just like screaming the whole time because I was so annoyed. I made it to one level where you have to use the left and right trigger to move each end of the spaghetti to get them wherever you want them to be. Okay, I can accept the ridiculous premise of sentient spaghetti. I can accept left and right trigger to move. I can accept holding the triggers to make it kind of jump. But that's about where shit falls off. And then you get to a level where you've got to move from the end of the sidewalk, because I guess the sentient spaghetti goes through some kind of teenage angst rebellion phase where you're trying to like prank this old lady and you have to get the spaghetti up three stairs and onto the porch to knock on the door and then get away before the lady comes to the door and catches you. And I couldn't do it. And that was the point where I noped out and was like, I'm so glad we're not going on vacation. I am not touching this. And then I prominently let myself forget the misery that was Freddy Spaghetti. There are plenty of people who love these kind of games.
You got I'm further than me, by the way. I got to the, I think it was like level 4 or 5 where you have to get the ball through the soccer net.
Oh my God, that took forever.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it and I gave up and I turned off the game and I haven't gone back.
I feel bad because like when I nope out on a game, I'm like, I'm not going to give it a fair review. I'm not the person to ask about that game at that point. But I don't know. I couldn't force myself to just keep going at it because it's just not in my wheelhouse to play a game like that.
No.
And I feel bad about it. I do. And I'm sorry, Radaleka. I play a lot of your games and I enjoy a lot of them. Surprise, more than most people want to give credit to. I enjoy them, but this was just not it.
Yeah, this was just a miss for me. And I don't think it's a bad game. It's just not for me. Hit. And it's the controls. If you don't get the controls, you're not going to have fun with this game.
Yeah. I did not have fun with this game.
Jovers in chat says game of the year 2021.
Well, it came out in 2019. So 2020. Yeah.
What came year out is 2 years again? Ago.
I don't even remember. I should go take my Vicodin. Be right back.
Oh my God.
I need a Vicodin after you fucking made me remember Freddy Spaghetti.
Well, $5. Give me your verdict.
Pass. Deny it. Don't touch it. It was a unique experience.
Oh man, what a meme.
Oh shit. All right. That's it for this episode. We made it through. We're back. And
we're back, baby.
Yeah.
God damn.
I guess we'll see you next episode. Anyone have any final words to end it?
I actually I had something that belonged in the news section, but I forgot it until a little while ago.
Let's hear it.
Just wanted to say that Calico on the Switch, which I reviewed if not last time then the time before, they released a patch with like 40 different fixes in it, It's just a huge amount of things they fixed, including everything I had complaints about.
Yep. So, they patched it on Xbox 2, and I got all my achievements in it, and I was like, happy.
Yeah. So if you were on the fence about Calico because of glitchiness, then don't be. Go get it.
Yeah. Cool. What
the fuck was Calico again?
Calico was the one where you run a cat store, a cat cafe. Yeah.
Okay.
And you run around.
Yeah, you already won me over. You don't need to continue anymore.
Okay.
Which one was Calico? Absolutely. Cat Cafe. Sold.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Even with the glitches and stuff, I was still so into it, and I gave it a buy it anyway because I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, the glitches bothers me more, but you know, now they don't. So, great.
All right, so final words, get Calico.
Yeah.